Really, the project are the churches that we work through in all the 29 different countries. 8,500 churches that we work through. And you see, when the child goes on a Saturday at the project, they get given a meal, nutritious meals, so their physical needs are looked after. The staff as well, they help them with any cognitive things, a bit like what we heard with Emmanuel, isn't it? He is so lovely that he got qualified as a welder. So it's the cognitive development as well. But also, most importantly, I think it's the spiritual development as well. They get given a Bible. They get taught Christ, which is amazing. Because not all the children that come at the project are Christians. But as I'll share in a moment, and I call it the ripple effect, what the Compassion Project gives to the children often spans out into their families, often spans out, ripples through their communities as well, which I think is amazing. So thank you. Your support truly makes a difference in the communities that we work in. Next slide. Children's letters. You know, they're so important, children's letters, and particularly with all the technologies that are happening today. You can download the Compassion app and you can just fire away a letter to your sponsored child so easily. But those letters really develop their soul, if you like. They absolutely love the letters that you send them to. I heard a story once that in this sponsored children's house, if you like, there was a flood that happened. And everything was coming through, the water was coming through their house. And the most important thing they grabbed hold of was all the letters that they received from their sponsored child. And they put it in a bag and just pegged it up on a rope above so they wouldn't get, you know, damaged by the water. Just how much it means to them, the letters you send. So again, thank you. Thank you for the letters you send to the children. Really makes a difference to them. Next slide. These are the children you sponsor that we have on the system, and if there's any changes to that, sometimes folks sort of leave churches or so, do let me know. But these are the current children that are sponsored through this fellowship. So thank you again for the impact you make. And these are the pictures of the children as well. You may recognize on this slide. I'm relying on the office to do this section. I didn't do it. So praise the Lord, it's right. Just wanted to share a few things with you. I mean, in my work at Compassion, I often tend to go to a lot of Christian events. I go to Spring Harvest, or I go to New Wine, or I just came back last week from a men's event called Christian Vision for Men, where we have a chance to talk about compassion to these larger crowds and see many children be sponsored. And one of the things we take is this big blue elephant. It is quite huge. And it takes a long time to inflate. but it has a message on the side of it. I didn't take a very good picture, but it has a message on the side of it that says, how do you eat an elephant? How do you eat an elephant? Now, apparently it's an old African proverb. And the answer to that is one piece at a time. and we did a play on that to say, how do you tackle poverty, which is such a big elephant in the world, isn't it? And we say, one child at a time. You know, according to UNICEF, there's about over 300 million children in the world right now living in extreme poverty. So that's a big elephant. You know, how do we tackle with that issue? And it's one child at a time. Regardless of the congregation size, regardless of the event size, it's one child at a time. I was really encouraged. I went to this men's event last weekend, and their vision for that event, the guy who runs it, he's a close friend of Compassion. He says, I want to see 1,000 kids sponsored through this men's event. You know, and they're almost about 600 now. They're so committed to the cause, and we're so grateful. The other picture I've put up there, actually, sorry, just going back to the previous slide. On the right-hand side, there's this gentleman who was preaching at the church. Now, I had the tremendous privilege of meeting him. His name is Richmond Vandera, and he's a formerly sponsored child. And, you know, he has an amazing story. I really got to spend some time with him in the car as I drove him to a few events. And, you know, at the age of 9, I believe it was, he was walking back home. And as he walked back home, he saw lots of commotion in front of his house. And it transpired that his father was killed. And he was age 9. His father was murdered. He lived in Uganda, Kampala. And, you know, their life changed since then because they couldn't afford to keep up the payments for their house. They ended up being thrown out in the slums and they were just about to die, really. It's funny, as I was speaking to him, I think someone from the UK said, this would never have happened in the UK because there's systems in place to help you, you know, but not in Uganda. He was out in the slums with him and his mum and they were just on the verge of death. But then he got registered at the Compassion Project. And you see, that's again the ripple effect in action. Not just little Richmond got saved, you know, from physically but also spiritually, but his mum as well. Now, I understand he was telling me this, that she almost hated God because he said, why would you allow my husband to be taken away? Why would you allow us to be in this slum? But you see, and that's what the beauty of compassion is. Total transformation, total redemption. You know, little Richmond was sponsored by a 14-year-old girl called Heather Jones at the time. And now, 30 years later, little Richmond, who walked in as a sponsored child in that church in Kampala, that very same church now, which I think is a Baptist church, he's a minister, he's a pastor in that church 30 years later. What an amazing story of this young man. And actually, he's now a trustee for Compassion as well, Compassion UK. What an amazing story of Richmond. And there's so many more he shared with us, how his local church is making such an impact in the community as well. They're putting trees in, you know, bringing new life into the community. There's people, broken people, coming into the church, wanting to hear Christ, wanting to hear of the gospel. Because that 14-year-old girl, Heather Jones, decided to sponsor Little Richmond at the time. So we give thanks to God for that. I want to take you back, take you all the way back to 1952, when Compassion started. Now this man in this picture here, his name is Everett Swanson. And what happened with him is, he went on a trip and he went to Korea. And on a war-torn Korean street in 1952, God moved Everett Swanson's heart with compassion. Because as he was watching city workers scoop up what looked like piles of rags and throw them in the back of a truck, he walked over to take a closer look at that. And Swanson was deeply troubled to see that the piles were not rags, but they were frozen bodies of orphans who had died overnight in the street. And on the airplane home, Swanson heard the simple message resounding in his head. As the engine, you know, started whirring, he heard the challenge. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about that? That's a pretty good question, isn't it? What are you going to do? Over and over again in his head. And by the time his plane landed, Swanson had made the decision. God had moved him with compassion, so he needed to take action. And that's how the Ministry of Compassion came into being. The first country we were in was Korea. Now, I'm pleased to say Korea is actually no longer a country that sponsors, but themselves help other countries sponsor. They've become self-sustaining as such. And now they sponsor over 1 million children themselves, Korea. What an amazing transformation. And what I wanted to speak to you today, actually, is about compassion, the ministry, but also about the word compassion. Because it can be quite easy. Sometimes I think, yeah, I work for compassion. you know. But the word itself, compassion, is actually quite full of rich meaning. You know, I love this word actually, because it has several shades of meaning, all of which reflect something of its beauty. Now, first of all, compassion means sympathy. You are suffering with or on behalf of others, and you are being afflicted with their affliction. It also means mercy. It also means understanding. You are seeing clearly into a person's situation, and you are sharing it with them. Compassion means long suffering. You are patiently bearing with others, despite their weakness. As we heard this morning, the psalm that was read, our God is a God of great compassion. And scripture just abounds with evidence of this. You know, consider his tender heart described in that psalm, Psalm 23. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He guides, he restores. Just like we've seen with Richmond, he feeds us even when our enemies are around us. The Lord's compassion for us is like the ever-attentive care of the shepherd for his weary, wandering sheep. You know, Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep, and when he was seeing the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were distressed. They were downcast like sheep without a shepherd. And this compassion extended to the individual within the crowd, to the rich man, to the every single child. Jesus went out of his way to meet the needs of those rejected by man. The blind, the lepers, the poor. Jesus went out of his way to meet the needs of those folks. Now, I read of a beautiful story of a woman who many years ago visited a home for deceased prostitutes. And their bodies were so ravaged, there was a fan going around to keep the stench from the visitors. Obviously, people just stayed away. It was awful. But this woman was so full of God's compassion that she went and embraced them all, stroking their faces, praying with them, just like Jesus. She reached out to those who were considered the dregs of society. Another beautiful psalm is Psalm 72:13. Let me just read that verse to you. I love it. I was looking at it last night. Psalm 72:13. Psalm 72:13. He will have pity on the poor and helpless and save the lives of the poor. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious in his sight. You see, Psalm 72 speaks of a God who has compassion on the poor and the needy. He will save them. He will rescue them. You know, whether our poverty is spiritual, circumstantial, emotional, you know, a compassionate God stands by us to rescue us. If even a sparrow falling to the ground doesn't escape the notice of God, how much more a poor human being would escape the Savior's notice? I always say at this point, anyone know the going rate of a sparrow in Cove, Farnborough? You know, God knows the value of that sparrow. Now, I don't know about your theology to Jesus' return. Indeed, on you know how close or how far he is. Personally, I think we're really close. And a lot of people might tell you that in the light of his coming return, you've got to be ready. You've got to be ready. You have to be ready. You know, confess your sins to God, settle any disputes with a brother or sister, all really good things. Read the word, pray. But in the context of the Lord's return, we as his children are called as well to remember the poor. And when Jesus is warning his disciples of the signs of the end of the age in Matthew 24, he told them that there will be famines. And that word famines means is a result of destitution, as a result of poverty. In other words, poverty will be prevalent even in the end times. And the Apostle Paul in Galatians does call us to remember the poor even at the end. I love the other verse that we love at Compassion is, whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me. And that verse is in a context of Jesus returning to offer those who served him faithfully by helping the destitute an inheritance in the kingdom. What an amazing thing. And in fact, if you look closely at Paul's letters in the New Testament, you will see that after evangelism, the next thing he really has a heart for is the poor. Because in 2 Corinthians 1, 9, 8, 9, you see Paul's heart for this. And perhaps he wondered if turning the Corinthians' minds from themselves, from caring for themselves, to caring for others, might help put their problems in perspective. So in those two chapters, Paul gives such a wonderful teaching about Christian giving. You know, he's urging the Corinthians to know God's blessing as they give generously to others. It's a masterful piece of writing, and I encourage you to read it through again. I was looking at it a few weeks ago. It's revealing his pastoral heart and the strength of his convictions that regarding the correct use of money. And 2 Corinthians 9:7 tells us that God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. And that word loves is, in that context, agape. Agape love is the love of God. God does not love us because we are attractive or lovable. The Bible tells us that he loves us because he loves us. In the Old Testament, we discover that God did not love the Jews because they were a great nation, but because he is love. And because he chose to care for a bunch of people that nobody else cared about. This kind of love is sacrificial. A love that is willing to pay any price for someone. This is the love that God has for a cheerful giver. Wow, it's amazing. But you know, so far I've talked a lot about the responsiveness of God. But what about our response? I just think back to Everett Swanson. What will he do now? What will he do now since you've heard all of these this morning? I want to tell you that at this point, response demands a response. If I show love to my wife, I wish her to respond back to me with love and towards me. If I show compassion to her, I wish her to receive it and appreciate it. You know, we are made in the image of God. We have feelings. He has feelings, too. We feel, he feels. We need response, so does he. You see, God has been compassionate towards you. And shouldn't we show compassion to others as a response? If I have the Spirit of God in me, I have compassion. If I truly love God, then I will be full of compassion. If it was costly for God to show compassion, then shouldn't there be a cost for me to be moved by compassion? You know, everything worthwhile has a price to it. And, you know, I've been really blessed to share the word of compassion and the impact of its ministry this morning with you. And if the Spirit really witnessed anything that I've shared, and if indeed you'd like to sponsor a child, perhaps, I have a few children with me this morning on profiles, like Mordecai here. So I've got a few with me in my bag. And if you'd like to speak to me about sponsoring, do let me know and come and see me after this service. As I mentioned, £32 a month, and that is a price to pay, not just as compassion, but also as an act of worship to him as well.